The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
News Talk 710. He's had all he can stand, and he can't stand no more. Peter Boyles on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Ninth morning of June, everyone, a Wednesday. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. Been another great morning. Thanks for being here. Stefan is really doing well. I got a text from him this morning. He's making his recovery. 93 will be the high today and 94 on Thursday, and tomorrow 82 degrees. We're standing by. We will see what happens next. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to look at the life of Hal O'Leary, who is a remarkable man who invented the NSCD and what happened at Winter Park. And Dean Singleton will be with us, and Gary Dufresne and Alan Stack. Let me tell you what's happened. And I don't know, we're waiting for Brother and waiting for Brother Jeff and Julian. So, I don't know, a couple months ago, I get a heads up from some friends of mine that a book is coming called The Holly. And about the Holly Shopping Center and gangs and violence and Denver politics and the police and everything. So there's just right there. So I got the galleys of the book. Well, and let me set it up and I'll bring Jeff on. I got the galleys of the book. I attended a house party with Patricia Calhoun and Greg Moore and a whole lot of people. I read the book and I thought it was remarkable. And we had Julian on the show, but we had to wait until after the book dropped, which is only right. I've had lunch with him face-to-face twice, and then once he and I and Terrence Roberts had lunch. And there's a documentary film coming. And then Brother Jeff came on the show, and I was talking to Patricia Calhoun. I go back with, well, let me bring him on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a longtime friend. Brother Jeff joins us. Well, thanks for being here, man. Good morning, Jeffrey, and thanks for coming on the show.
Present and accounted for, sir.
Yeah, we've known each other. Patty and I spoke about all of this, what's happening. I think we've known each other 35 years minimum, at least.
At least.
At least. And through fundraisers and events and radio, television, and just, you know, we went to one night we were at a play and your daughter was with us. And, I mean, we go back. And I got to tell you something. I don't understand what's happening. I'm sure they're all listening. I finished up in the gym yesterday, and we've had – Terrence has been on the radio show. I had lunch with Terrence, lunch with Julian, I think three times, certainly twice. But I think twice we met at the New York Deli and once in a place down on Broadway with Terrence. And, you know, I lionized the book. We pushed the book hard. And then you were on the radio show, and you had issues with the book. And I said, well, the only way... I actually, when Julie and I talked, I told him, you know, drive down to the Cultural Center, park and walk in and square it with Jeff. And that was really, I'm not making any of this up. That was my advice. End of story. And then there was some, I got some strange phone calls. And then yesterday I finished up in the gym and Julian had texted me and he said, get a moment. And I went outside, sat down, and I called him. And he said he did not want to come on the show. And he had said some things I don't want to repeat because I just don't want to. And then he asked me some things about when I did the show with you. And he asked me to, wanted me to read a statement. And with respect, I have respect for him. And I said, I'm not your spokesperson. I'm not your, you can speak for yourself. And he said he was going to send us a statement. And I said, don't send it to me. And what's happened to radio is these people have wrecked radio by doing this kind of stuff. And I said, look, I sent it to Billy. Who's Billy? I said, well, you've spoken with Billy before. Billy books the show. Billy's the brains of the operation. And I said, he said he was going to send a press release or a statement, and we've not heard from him. So, I don't know what to say, and I don't want anybody just to beat him up or, you know, have people, you know, I mean, I know you had a long-going critique of the book, and you had agreed to show up with Julian here on this on radio show and talk it out. Jeffrey, is that fair?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. And, you know, when and I know Julian's listening, and so he has already issued a statement. It's a book. It's called The Holly, and it's an incredible piece of literature. And I can tell you the reason he's probably not showing up is because, A, he's got a bunch of legal exposure that he's probably attached to right now. And two, he's probably not safe, and he recognizes that he's not safe. And the reason he knows he's not safe is because he's made some blunders or some errors. And I'm going to just point out a couple of them to you, because I don't have a problem with Julian. I have a problem with Julian presenting facts that are actually not facts. And so, Peter, what you'll have to do when you take a look at this book, there's this modern way of reading, and it's actually postmodern, because folks will begin to say things like, this is my truth, this is my story, I'm sorry you feel that way, but et cetera. But facts are facts. And so when I first read this book, The Holly, I was very confused because I was looking at it from a journalistic lens. And it was so riddled with various mistakes that I'm like, who put the red ink to this? Who's the editor? Who did the fact checking? And I've been a part of so many stories that, you know, people write stories, but then someone else will call me and say, I'm just calling to check some facts before we print this. Is your name this? Is it spelled this way, et cetera? I was so confused that I called Patty just to get a journalistic, you know, what are some of the norms? And I talked to Patty Calhoun from Westword. I talked to her so long, Peter, that her battery went dead. Like, we were having such a long conversation, and she actually gave me some insight. This book is not a journalistic piece of work. And so when I realized that, I had to say, well, then what is it? What is this book? And I've come to the conclusion that it is basically a story told to Julian from Terrence Roberts. Now, let's go to the Westword, and I'm going to give you an example. There's a story in his book where he's talking about Cameron Smith. And he talks about Cameron Smith as a high school senior heading to, you know, University of Oklahoma, et cetera. See, these are some of the mythological stories that just continue to ripple on. I talked to someone that you know. Her name is Dr. Lisa Calderon.
Oh, sure.
And she said, Brother Jeff, I was Cameron's college professor at Metro. She said that story is so blatantly wrong that you could basically do a Google check to figure out those details. And so I just went to Westword. Westword did a story and talked about that whole murder, that he wasn't a blood. Everybody knew that. But they said he was a college student. Like, so basic things like that that open up old wounds, that's just one example of something that could be a very basic fact-checked situation. And if Julian was here, I would ask him about certain elements of his book that he just would not want to answer. Okay.
Well, having said those things, like I said, I have a real bad feeling about everything that's happened. And, you know, Patty and I spoke yesterday for, like I said, we burn out phones with each other on stories. But, you know, we both know you and have known you, and you know, I know him. I respect what they did. But I don't understand this part of it. And, you know, you and I have been shot through the grease a couple of times. And, you know, it's who you are will make you last. And that's the only answer I got. So we'll let it go and see what happens next. I think, you know,
yeah
I think, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. And but I wish you to come on. I truly do. And when this all began, after your last appearance, and you critiqued the book, and frankly, I didn't know you were going to do that, and it's okay, it's you, you're on the show, and it's free form, and you critiqued the book, and I thought, wow, that's interesting, you know, because having known you all these years, and I let it go, and then he contacted me, and I said, hey, I'm gonna go see him, and I mean, on my grandson's forehead, I said, drive down to the Culture Center, walk in. That's how I know Jeff. Go and see him. And he said he couldn't do that. And I said, okay, and I let it go. And then I heard from some other people over Memorial Day weekend. And Randy and I had been together along with Kenny Deal, the big deal. And it was one of those things, the smoke detector went off in my house. The batteries had run out, and it was raining and everything. And they asked me to come into Cherry Creek and meet him, and I said, I can't do it. I said, not because, I better get home, and went home and had to get up on a ladder, you know, do all this stuff. And then it went to ground. And I never heard again, except Billy did the matchup that you and he were going to come on and debate the book. And then yesterday, after I'm done working out, I get the call, and he's pretty adamant. He said some things that I'm not going to repeat. And he, So let's do something else.
Well, you know, Peter, he's got an answer to, like, when you've got little mistakes about, like, things that I absolutely know about, they're also perhaps mistakes about charges that are attributed to individuals that are actually someone else's charges, you know, and these are things that matter, because you know how the neighborhood is. It's very dangerous when things are right. When things get wrong and you start hanging jackets and labels on individuals and you think that you can walk away with impunity, that doesn't happen. The YMCA is not in Five Points. You know, Shorter AME Church is not New Hope. Lumumba Sayers is not a Crip. He's an MMA fighting champion.
Yeah, I know.
Tone is not an activist. Like, we went through all of this, and those are things that Julian will have to explain. I predict that the book will go out of print. They will probably, you know, reissue it with some edits, and, you know, hopefully things will be well. But you've been around long enough, Peter, mm-hmm. to know that there's some stories mm-hmm. that are just not told. You're scratching the surface and you're opening up wounds, and now you've got a lot that you've got to answer to.
There's a documentary film coming that Julian voices the film. I've not seen it. I'm sure it follows the book. And the doc is going to come down, or I thought it was going to be here soon. And that's as much as I know. I know that he spent a lot of time in studio voicing the film. And I wonder if the doc will now drop.
Well, I think that he's probably going back to do some re-edits, because someone did not do a basic fact check in this book. And it's basically just carrying Terrence's point of view through, you know, this particular story in this lens. And if that's the case, you know, that is totally, you know, acceptable. But there are a lot of cold cases in this book. Also, Julian missed the opportunity to get on that witness stand and Terrence is in his case, because the defense did not call him to the stand. And I'm wondering if the defense even offered that evidence to the prosecution that Julian provided in terms of the Reverend Kelly tape and saying and all of those different things that he was recording. So Julian, sometimes he shows up as part of the defense. Sometimes he shows up as, you know, I'm doing drinking and drugging with the opponents of Terrence Roberts. Then sometimes he shows up appearing with tapes from the Denver Police Department or whomever has personal interviews with Mr. Alexander and et cetera. Like, all of these questions are going to be asked at some point. And I don't think that, you know, Julian realizes that, you know, he may be getting called to the stand sooner or later, but he's certainly got a lot to answer to with all of these, you know, allegations and stories that he's put forward. And I wouldn't come on the show either. I'd be quiet as a church mouse at this point.
Our guest, the one and only Brother Jeff, and we had scheduled Julian Rubenstein and Jeffrey together to iron out some things that are about this book, The Holly. And I don't know when the documentary film is ready to drop, but it will be. As an aside, because I know there's this new documentary film that came down. We had the guys on the show yesterday, The Tale of the Dog, about the family dog in 67 and all this kind of stuff. And it's absolutely brilliant. It's given me so many ideas. We should kick something around, man, because the stuff that you know and the stuff that, and there's still these guys, and one of the things that struck me is this Elvis story, too. There's still people around that, you know, we talked about this term that I use, setting the record straight about the Elvis stuff in Denver. And it triggers me into this. One of the, we're marking on the 18th of this month, 37 years ago, Alan Berg was murdered. And one book came out, and it was someone who claimed to be the Widow Berg, who was just his divorced wife, telling stories. And she's we're at peace with each other, but told stories that got printed as truth. And that was troublesome. So I don't
know.
I mean,
that's what happened.
Yeah, it sounds
like that's
a
great idea. Yeah. You know, you get second and third hand information, but when you're talking to individuals that were actually there, you know, in terms of these stories, then all of a sudden, even sometimes their memory,
needs to be checked and rechecked.
Yeah. But there are a lot of great stories where people who have firsthand information that are ready to talk or might talk. I know there are a lot of individuals who refuse to talk to Julian that are now saying, you know what, we knew not to talk about that.
Maybe we've
got to tell our story. So there's good that comes out of these situations as well.
Brother Jeff's here. The other thing I wanted to bring up and have bounce off of you, because you went, was Pat Sullivan. And I guess he died in the end of May, and they just hit it, or didn't hit it. It wasn't announced that the former Arapahoe County Sheriff Pat Sullivan's dead. And a listener sent me an email and said he was the Jeffrey Epstein of Colorado. How brilliant is that? Wow. He was Jeffrey Epstein, wasn't he?
See, I don't know the details of that, but just to hold that kind of title is damning. Like, if you're the Jeffrey Epstein of Colorado, then there are a whole bunch of bit players that are getting a pass that you know, really don't want these stories to come out or don't want anyone even going down those rabbit holes. And just to say something like that says, you know what, there's a lot in Colorado that has to be answered for as well.
One of the reasons that I love you and things we've talked about is, you know, when on the surface, that's one of the things that the Holly pointed out. On the surface, you know, when guys grew up in Pittsburgh or Detroit or Chicago or someplace, they go, I was pretty corrupt. And they think, not Denver. And no, and you just chuckled, but it's really true. And Pat Sullivan, someone once said he stood before a judge and he did time in jail in a place with his name on it. But so he gets in front of the judge, and I went back and read all this stuff. He got 38 days for what he did, and then he violated the parole. And somebody gave me a heads up. I looked in the morgue and Westward and Channel 7. You tell me, you know, life as it is. So they get the paperwork on Pat Sullivan remaining free. And listen to this. Sullivan fails. And he doesn't get violated. He fails 3 tests for meth. This is by his PO. 4 for alcohol. Fails to submit required samples on 35 occasions. And they still don't violate him. They're afraid of him, aren't they?
They're absolutely afraid of him. Like, just think about the stuff we know about, even in this book, The Holly, about folks at the highest level that are involved in this book that no one will say their name. They might get hinted to, or folks don't even know to ask the question. Like, even in this case, I know high-ranking individuals who encourage other folks not to testify in Terrence Roberts' case. And I'm like, how is all of this stuff connected? And so when you're talking about Sullivan and others, how does all of this stuff in Colorado get connected?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's like that Russian doll thing. The more you look into it, you're like, the same thing happening over there that you decry as corrupt is happening right where you stand.
It's called Byzantine. Plots within plots. Boxes within boxes. It's Byzantine. And Sullivan, they were afraid of Sullivan. And the same thing was true with Scotty Ewing and Players and Sugar. And he sold that business to a woman named Brenda Stewart, not to be confused with Brenda Stewart, is a lovely woman, works at KOA. She had just had the same name. Nobody went down. Nobody went down. You know, everybody got parole or probation, or they put on the Irish Rolex and sat in the house for a month. But it's amazing. They were afraid of him, and I think they were afraid of what Pat Sullivan knew. I swear to God, Jeffrey, they looked at this guy. And I believe that he may be good for 2 murders, from talking to the guys that did that book, the book of Matt, about Matthew Shepard. And I believe Sullivan knew Pat's. They knew him. They knew Matthew Shepard. That Matthew Shepard was a meth mule, and the guy that one of the two that murdered him had been his lover. They were having sex. Nobody ever told those stories, did they?
They will never tell those stories because most folks know not to tell them because they see what happens to those who even attempt to tell them. And so, you know, when you start seeing home invasions and computers coming up,
yeah.
And you,
listen,
like you, I'll never forget, you know, early in Hancock's administration or whatever, the second one or the first one, whatever, you know, do you remember when I believe it was like Will Austin was serving as his like communication guy?
Mm-hmm,
he called
sure.
the press in and says, you guys can look at the phones, you can look, but you can't write anything down. You can't take anything.
You had to leave everything in the hallway. It was Brownstein controlled that. That was a Brownstein control.
Now, whatever that was about, that's just like, how bizarre is that as a policy in the world of journalism that you're going to tell folks, here, you can look at this, but you can't write anything down. You can't bring anything in. It's like, who's protecting who for what and why? Who knows what?
Beth.
And who's willing to even say things? Because folks will be indicted at the highest levels.
They have in the archives, a letter from Brownstein's managing partner to Jerry Whitman, asking to have all of the evidence vis-a-vis, at that point, Mayor-elect Michael Hancock, and the Players in Sugar that he visited was the one over by City Park. And they had, I know because I've talked to the cops that did the event, they had television cameras up on the light poles. And they had them going in, but who else was going in? That was the real question they had. If anybody thinks that they were covering up for this young African-American kid who had been a city councilman, you could not be further from the truth. Jeffrey, your thoughts?
You could not be further from the truth because you are talking about powerful people with great wealth, great political connections, great inroads that can make things disappear. Like, who has the power to even make a request for things to come up missing in the police department, et cetera, and to even call those shots. So when you're talking about shot callers, you're talking about real shot callers. You're not talking about what someone's doing for, you know, a newly elected African-American mayor who
kids.
Grew up homeless in poverty all these different things. That's a joke. It's almost disrespectful to have anyone even believe that.
But they did.
That's what this is all about. Not about that. It's always bigger.
It ended people's careers, that story. And I think in the long run, they, you know, I did what I did, but they were laying in the woods. They were like, you know, and You got a second? Can I take a break and bring you back? We'll tell a story. Hang on. Brother Jeff is with us. Julian, I wish you to come on the show. I know you're listening. I just got a call, a text from somebody. Please come on. All right, 710 KNUS, good morning. Despite mortgage rates falling to their lowest levels in months, fewer homeowners are choosing to refi, and depending on your current rate, this could be a huge mistake because you're missing out on hundreds of dollars in monthly savings. I get a pay raise. Don't let this happen. Instead, pick up the phone and call American Financing. Get that, again, free mortgage review that I've been telling you about. Let them review your current loan. If an outstanding debt like credit cards or personal loans, let them look into that. They can customize a new loan and save you up to $1,000 a month. No obligation, no upfront fees, no hidden fees. It's a simple conversation around your needs. I trust American Financing. So should you. American Financing today, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Don't step on The Voice, Wednesday morning, 9 June 2021, 93 the high, 94 on Thursday. Brother Jeff's on hold tomorrow. Life and Times of Hal O'Leary. Warm weather has arrived, and you'll be looking to expand your outdoor living space, and it's Urban Lights, the place to go for all your lighting and ceiling fan needs. Ceiling fans are the answer. Urban Lights, the latest in LED lighting inside and outside, all lit up on display. Hundreds of smart Wi-Fi ceiling fans you control with your phone. The huge selection of any room of your home. I put some new, there's two new fixtures in the family unit. Big box home stores typically carry just a few basic styles, but Urban Lights, 20,000 square foot showroom, hundreds of lighting fixtures. Ceiling fans. Ceiling fans are the true answer. I mean, they're the best, moving the air around the room, indoors and outdoors. Their showroom today, schedule a free design appointment. The people just aren't standing there. They really are designers. The woman we worked with was terrific. I took my grandson. We all went. It's just a great place. Walking through virtual appointments. You can help comfort of your own home or go and see them. 40% off lighting and ceiling fans at Home Decor every weekend. Dave Nestor's the man. 7 days a week. Find them south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi. UrbanLightsDenver.com. UrbanLightsDenver.com. Tell them I sent you. An extra 10% off their already low price guarantees. They're the best of our friends. 7 days a week, they're Urban Lights. The one and only Jeff, Brother Jeff, is with us, and we had scheduled Julian Rubenstein to talk about the book, The Holly. And yesterday, Julian called me, texted me first, and then called, and we talked, and he's declining to come on the show. And now Jeff and I are talking about corruption in Colorado, and it's been announced that Pat Sullivan passed away either the end of May or the first part of June. It doesn't matter. When you talk about a guy that there are people, Jeffrey, and you know what we're better than I. They people that know the secrets and keep the secrets. And Sullivan, when he got 38 days for what he was doing, meth and sex, and he got 38 days, and he violated his parole so many times. And if you look at, say, the regular guy who had done, and it was Channel 7's good work and Westward's good work, he remained free. But he just violated his probation again and again and again, and Channel 7 gets the record, failing meth tests and alcohol tests, and doesn't their required samples, 35 occasions, Jeffrey, and still, you know, he stays out. And then we switched into Players and Sugar. What does it all say? What does it all say?
It says there's a double standard. It says what a lot of people are saying in terms of why do the rules apply to me and not to other folks. It makes folks question, you know, just the system in general. It gives rise to, you know, various books and allegations and all of this questioning about what's going on. Like, how can someone have that record and remain on the streets? Like, this is the common theme that we constantly say, and it goes back to, are you going to build a society that is corrupt or not? And I don't care how you dress it up and how, you know, you make it look, you know, shiny and you have people saying, I believe this and I believe that. That's why many people do not trust. They do not believe their government. They don't believe the alphabet. They don't believe the CIA, the FBI. They don't believe any of that stuff because they've got too many opportunities to say, well, I believed you and I was duped and these things are happening. So why should I trust you or should I trust the ones that you are saying are corrupt?
No, it's absolutely true. Brother Jeff's here. And just that Players and Sugar, which was a monumental moment to understand how corruption worked, or just how power worked. That's a better way to say it. I don't think it was the public officials and the media both went in the tank on this one, Jeff. I mean, Channel 9 went in the tank. The Post went in the tank. They really did. Probably into the tank. And I've always believed this. It was not about this young kid who became the mayor. It was about all the surrounding power brokers. They did not want to get outed. And I got a text from a good friend. Let me just read the text to you. He's in law enforcement. And he says, Peter, if the statute of limitations had run out on the case you're referring to, Players and Sugar, whatever evidence should be, and there's as should be, and you'd be able to see it. If a judge sealed those records, he too might have gotten serviced, in my opinion. He goes on to say, he said, and that said, I'll bet you're right. Either the law firm or the evidence or the DPD destroyed it. Either way, I doubt we'll ever see that evidence. And I think that's true.
Well, it's absolutely true. Because, you know, when you have power, you have the ability to make things go away. And you also have the ability to make folks explain away, you know, your behaviors and why you can do things that other people can't do. So where is the evidence? Well, if there's no evidence, there's no way to bring forward a case. And, you know, it becomes speculation and all those different things. And that is what we really have to focus on. And if you think about journalism, and I'm talking about true journalism, investigative journalism, it requires someone who's going to stand firm on what they find, show up and explain it, allow themselves to be whatever cross-examined, you know, all of those different things. And that's what we're seeing going away in these particular times. Folks get to say what they want to say, and then they disappear, and they hide, and they listen out, and then, you know, they cower. You know, stand tall on your work and share what you've learned and expose, you know, these what you call invisible empires, invisible workings, invisible cities, but a danger attached to all of that. And few people want to do it. And that's why you have a lot of media outlets that close down. They get bought out by power. You get investigatory, you know, journalism shut down so people can continue to run these games that we're talking about.
I just got a message from Julian. I'll read it to you. This just came as a text. I have a short statement about why I will not appear today and the false statements being made about me today, if you or Peter is willing to read it. Of course I'm willing to read it. I was going to let Billy read it, but he's, you know, this just came in. I was dismayed to hear the thinly veiled threats against me by Brother Jeff Fodd on his Facebook live show Friday, May 28th. They were code language to people who he knows are capable of carrying out violence against me. It's unacceptable and possibly criminal for him to say such things. As the show plays today, I'm getting calls and emails about the false statements he's making about me and the book. As Peter knows, discrediting me and the book is exactly what I expected would happen. I didn't expect him to also threaten my life. I let the authorities deal with that. I have nothing else to say. That just a second ago came in.
Peter, let me respond to that. Isn't that the exact same narrative that plays out in the book, The Holly, that we are reading, that someone is threatening someone's life? How is your life being threatened when someone says that Cameron Smith was a college student that was being taught by Professor Lisa Calderon? How is that a threat against Julian? How is it a threat to say that the YMCA is not in Five Points? The YMCA is not in Five Points. How is it a threat to say that in your book, where you're talking about Heal the Hood being the largest march, et cetera, put on by Terrence Roberts, was actually on the back of Fava, who put on Heal the Hood for many years, and that particular march was sponsored by Brother Jeff along with Terrence Roberts, and it wasn't at New Hope. It was actually at Shorter Community AME Church, where the power came from, but it was in the park.
Jeffrey, let me do this. Patty Calhoun's on the line right now. She's talking to Billy. And why don't I take my break? Well, there she is now. Let's want to take the break early, Billy? We're going to take the break early, Jeffrey. Hang on. Patricia Calhoun, who I spoke to yesterday, is here. I just got a statement from Julian, just read it on the air. Listen, there's a term called a stacker. A stacker, somebody paying for cable plus streaming services, overpaying, they stack you. If you are one, listen up. Nobody likes a stacker except the cable companies. I found a home, man. I mean, StreamWise Solutions 2 years ago. Ever since, my high-speed internet is humming perfectly. I'm paying for the shows I watch. StreamWise, I mean, the most wonderful television. I'm saving like $2,000 a year, but that's $4,000 back in my pocket. But the service, there's no more hidden fees. There's no more equipment rentals. You own your own equipment, high quality, better television. It's wonderful. Stop overpaying. Don't be a stacker. This is the system. And the ways that, I don't, you know, my grandson shows me how to do stuff. And I've found ways how to see movies and documentaries. And StreamWise Solutions, 303-794-8600. 303-794-8600. Get their website, getstreamwise.com. StreamWise, it's getstreamwise.com. Or just call Brian, 303-794-8600. Boom. And they'll come like the window, straighten out this whole thing out. Get streamwise.com/stackers, 303-794-8600 online. Get streamwise.com/stackers. Keep doing that, don't I? It's 8:44:16 before the hour. Brother Jeff is with us back here tomorrow morning at 5. And Patricia Calhoun, Billy, bring everybody up from Westward. And it seems like I can't do a radio show without her. Patricia Calhoun joins Brother Jeff and I. I think, Patty, good morning, and I know you've called to join the show. What would you like to say?
Well, since I heard my name so often this morning, I thought I would clarify one thing. Brother Jeff, I think you misquoted me. I do think this book is a work of journalism. It's certainly not fiction, but the whole point of journalism is sometimes you get things wrong. Witness my appearance this week talking about the Elvis story. But when you get something wrong, or someone accuses you of getting something wrong, or even just wants to discuss the book or the story, you have to do it as a journalist. That's why I'm sorry that Julian isn't on, because you need to talk about it and see if you got things right, if you got things wrong. In the case of a peanut butter sandwich, we got it wrong. This is a much more important subject, and this is an important subject for the city. It's important to talk about this, but it's important to also get everything right.
Let me interject, and I'll turn it over to Jeff. Since I've never gotten anything wrong in 40 years of radio, you make it up. You say, hey, I was wrong, and I want to straighten it out. Patricia Calhoun, there's no one better. Brother Jeff is here, and I'm getting some off-air texting from people that are attacking Jeff. And I agree. If you got it right, if you got it wrong, go make it right. Jeff, your thoughts?
Yeah. Hello there, Patty. Again, in terms of the quote with Patty, it's my conclusion after speaking to you. I'm not saying that it's not a work of journalism. I'm saying the conclusion I've come up with in terms of my reading of the book. And I think that people are going to walk away from any book, or particularly this book, wondering what this book is about. It doesn't give you any answers, and maybe it's not supposed to. I'm saying, from what I see in terms of journalism, you know, to get so many things wrong, I'm not reading this from a journalistic perspective. I'm reading it as a point of view from Terrence Roberts' situation and Julian's wondering about why Hassan was shot in the Holly. And whatever conclusion he came up with, I'm saying it's not based on journalism, it's based on storytelling. And if it is journalism, then it's unacceptable not to know just basic facts that you can Google. And then it's not fair to say that I'm being attacked and threatened with my life when you poke that beehive. You took the stick and you poked that beehive and you started saying, I'm talking to a foreman, I'm talking to police, I'm talking to neighbors, and I'm coming to these particular conclusions. And then when Brother Jeff says something like, well, be careful because them bees is coming out that hive, then you're saying, Brother Jeff is threatening me. That is unfair, but that's the theme of the book in terms of the case with Terrence Roberts. He's saying that he was threatened. He talks about the case. And Julian never talks about, you know, what happened in that case and how that turned out. And I sat in that trial every single day, and there's very little you would know about that case based on this book in terms of what questions you would ask in terms of, well, what were the five shots? There were so many misconceptions that were said about Terrence that proved to be untrue in the trial. And I'm wondering why other people don't get a chance to have their day in court and to have their reputation or what people are saying about them also proven to be true or not. So, yes, it is a great book. It's a necessary book. I've come to the conclusion that I can't read it from a journalistic standpoint. I'm just reading it as a story told to Julian by Terrence with some very important facts in it that need to be dug in deeper and maybe even create more stories. So that's where I'm at in terms of my perspective on the book.
Patricia?
I completely appreciate that, because you're in the book. You were part of a lot of these activities. This is why the discussion is so important, because gangs are still a huge issue in Denver. The more we talk about it, the better. But it's a matter of talking about it. If there are problems in that book, it would be great if Julian would get, or accusations of mistakes in that book, if Julian would get on and talk about it. I always believe talking about it is better. Bringing the light of scrutiny to the situation in Denver is going to be better.
I agree. And Patty, here's the piece that's really disturbing. Julian brought up a lot of race in this book. Like, there's so much about gangs, there's so much about race, there's so much about corruption, but he doesn't want to stand and confront, or at least for whatever reason, say, here's why I came to these conclusions. He's talking about the police and folks working with the police and doing all these different things, and he's talking about funding, and then today he's talking about, and I turn this over to what? The police, the law enforcement. There's so many just ironic moments in this. And one of the things that got my attention was where he was saying, Brother Jeff is praising these police actual programs and stuff that I don't even know anything about. I was working with Safe Summer, Safe Holly, which I created. And if there is praise for what happened in the Holly, I'm talking about those six blocks, that little area. There were no shootings that summer in that safe zone, which was a goal of making those kids safe when they got out of school until they went back to school. There were no shootings in there. There were festivals. There were collaborations. There were permits. That Holly got greater lighting. They got curb cuts. They got grass. They got landscaping. They got all those different things. None of that appears. Everything that appears is just, we're all working with the police, or I don't understand. But at the same time, he's calling the police.
Patricia, because you were calling the show, Julian sent me a statement this morning at 8:34. Did you hear me when I read it on the air?
I did hear you read that.
Okay, okay. All right, so.
Yeah, I wish he would come on the show. I mean, as a journalist who is always taking phone calls, or sometimes from you, about stories we've run, that's part of the responsibility. Me. You put it out there, you have to explain it.
I wish he would have come on. Julian, I know you're listening, and I know your friends and colleagues are listening. Come on the show.
And you can't say I'm scared. You can't say I'm afraid. My life is on the line. I've been dog whistled. I've been threatened. You've been questioned. And if you think that Brother Jeff is a threat to you, I'm probably the least threatening person in this book. What you said about me doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's not a big deal. But what you said about a lot of other individuals that do matter is what you need to be concerned about. And I think that's what you are concerned about. But you can't put your problems on me. Stand 10 toes in, chest out, and shoulders back, and talk about what you came. You talk about your book. Talk about your conclusion. And no one has to say that they're right or wrong, but the facts do matter.
Patricia?
Well, I agree. Hey, Peter, you've thrown me off your show. The very first time I think we met, we were talking about Dean Reed, and you tossed me off your show.
Reed.
You know. You remember that?
Sometimes, no, because I think I was still drinking and doping, so I don't. It's not a cop out, but
you've got an excused absence. But I have a witness because Robin Chopper.
Oh, Robin, of course, Robin, of course. No, it's like
discussions are sometimes difficult, but they still have to happen.
This guy Jeffrey, this guy and I got into it. It was like, I'm a nonviolent person. And Dean Reed, oh, my God.
Comrade Elvis. Wasn't he the Elvis of Russia?
He was
It all comes back full circle.
The book is entitled Comrade Rockstar, The Life and Times of Dean Reed. And he ended up, you know, they found him in an East German lake, and he was drowned, except there wasn't any water in his lungs.
And he was from Denver.
Yeah, hit a top 40. Hit a top. Clark, remember Clark? What was Clark's name that wrote media critiques in Denver? Clark, come
Sechrist.
On, Clark Sechrist.
Sechrist
knew him, and because Sechrist grew up here, he had a top 40 hit on like Kim or something in the late 50s, early 60s. He's a handsome guy. I mean, he's a good looking guy. That's for another story, but. We got into a hoot, man. It was like,
he was worth getting thrown off your show for.
Radio was radio back then, man. It was.
I mean, the world was different without this social media. You had to say things to people's face. You had to come up and
they did.
Going on.
Somebody get them up. I love you both. I'll call you both today, Patricia Calhoun and Brother Jeff. And Julian, come on the show. I love you both. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Patricia. Call you, bro.
Okay.
Thanks, man, everybody. Tomorrow we're going to do The Life and Times of Hal O'Leary. David Harsanyi's on the show. What a show. Thank you, Billy Thorpe. Tomorrow, The Life of Hal O'Leary to Petra Fesso and Rodney. Thank you, guys. Wednesday, it's going to be a hot day. Stefan is doing better. I got a text from him this morning. So see you tomorrow morning at 5. We'll do it one more time. Thanks, Billy.